welcome everyone to February's edition of the NPL show here live from the Magnet, which at time of recording is still not blown away.
But there is a chance. There is a chance we could get locked in because trees and debris. In fact, I'm going to park my car just in the front and say, look where it's blown to, so we can't leave the public house.
We're recording this on Wednesday, the 12th of February, 2014. And at time of recording, there's a red warning. What does that mean?
In all words, it's game over for the UK.
It's game over for the UK. Hurricanes. What's the point of doing this radio podcast then?
Hurricanes, tornadoes. Can I be Dorifer? I'll be Dorifer. And you lot can pick up your other roles.
So what you're saying is basically when like aliens come back to this planet to see what happened after the devastation, there'll be this little beep, 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 and they'll press a button and there'll be this download podcast and they'll think, whoa, what a crazy world they all must have lived in. Non-league football, this much attention, are they mad?
This is the NPL show, and round the table here live at the Magnet we've got Swampy from FC United.
Good evening.
And the BBC.
Good evening.
We've got Roy Sue.
Good evening.
The BBC voice.
We've got Roy Sewell from New Mills.
Good evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Evening.
We've got Ian Burke, otherwise known as Berkey, from the BBC.
Good evening, everybody.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
And, well, back for more, back for more, it's Alan Alcock from the league.
Evening.
Hello.
How do you do?
By the way, we've actually said more evenings that's been sold, as in Evening News, that's been sold today. Well done, Aaron. I like where you started. Evening News.
Evening.
There was some correspondence in last month's show that perhaps the show was too mank. It's got too mank. And
we're in Stockport.
I know.
It's Cheshire.
It is Cheshire. And we had guests lined up who
it's
weren't
not mank. Really, is it though? Let's be honest. It's Greater Manchester. It's just that, you know. I mean, is Sale in Manchester?
Technically,
yeah. Yeah, he's got a Cheshire postcode.
Swamper.
Postcode,
Swamper.
You would have thought.
I'd just like to apologise to those listeners who aren't of a mank persuasion that we have let you down this month. But don't worry, we did have guests lined up who weren't mank. But because of the wind, they
I'm happy with an all mank show, to be honest.
So am I. It just goes to prove. You're right. Who is this listener?
It just goes to prove that basically nobody else can be bothered to get the backside to the Magnet in Stockport.
One other piece of correspondence that we had was that there was too much banter and not enough football talk. So moving on.
Well, at least we're bants with a Z, you know, that kind of thing. I don't like that.
He's talking about bring your own ball. He's talking about bring your own ball.
I want to know whether or not you said mank or manky.
Anyway, and Roy's from Enfield.
Yeah. Oh, Mike.
He was born in Enfield, so he. In fact, let's go around the table. Where was everyone born?
No, let's move on.
Where were you born?
Let's move on.
Manchester, Berkey.
Yes, St Mary's Hospital.
St Mary's, but I'm a part Ratcliffe now anyway, so.
Stepping Hill.
Cheshire.
I was born in Hope.
He was born in Hope. And he's still living in Hope. And I was born in St Mary's as well. So,
anyway.
Or Mank, apart from him, he was born in Enfield.
Yeah, what's your guy, Mank?
There we go.
So, terrible accents aside, welcome to the show. Let's start up at the top, right up at the top. Charlie, I've stretched the legs a bit and I've gone 5 points clear up at the top. Where are we now with this league title? Because the big game last month was going to be Skelmersdale United against Charlie, and Charlie walked it, didn't he, Berkey?
Yeah, he absolutely tated him. I did say at the time, if Charlie win that, that's it. It's game over. And to be honest, you might as well just hand them the trophy now, because they're not going to lose this league. You wouldn't have thought so anyway. They're going great guns. James Dean scoring plenty of goals. Darren Stevenson, whose middle name is Coyle, incidentally, he's scoring plenty as well, and everything's going very well up at Charlie, and I fully expect them to do all right in the Conference North next season.
You don't buy the argument that we had on the FC United podcast this week that we're only 16 points behind and two wins, it's only 10 points. No.
Well, it is an argument, but it's not a very strong one, is it? So,
are you going to crowbar that into every single podcast we do between now and the end of the season?
Where now for Skelmersdale, Swamper? Because you were saying that it's not over for them if they get beat in that game against Charlie, but 5 points behind now.
Well, there's still a lot of games to play. I mean, I did say at the beginning of the season, you know, anyone that beats Charlie will win the league. Skelmersdale have still got, you know, a chance there. FC United have got to play Charlie twice now. You know, and if FC take anything from them, I can guarantee you this: Skem, and apart from the game against Charlie, are all guns blazing. They're winning their game, so they're just going to keep on doing what they do. You know, Tommy Lawson's got a good team there. They're working hard, they're working well, and it's going to go to the wire. I still believe in Chorley to win the division, because you know they're a very, very professional outfit. We were lucky enough to be speaking to Carlos Rocca last week at one of our Stockport branch meetings, and he told me the professionalism at that football club is like, he said it's like being at a Premiership football club. You go there, the dressing room set up as it would be with all the drinks out and everything else. But what he does, and one of the things I think that separates maybe Gary from some managers, not all managers, is you go into that dressing room, everything about the opposition's on the wall. Everything's there. He knows everything about them. He scouts them himself. He goes out there with his chairman, you know. And I think things like that, him and Matt Janssen, they have got professionalism that really, for me, is showing the reason why they are where they are. They didn't play particularly well last night against Frickley, who were battling for their lives. They get a 2-0 victory, and that is the makings of champions, as it was last season with North Ferriby United. People have said, "Oh, I went to see them. They weren't particularly good." They never got beat from November, October onwards, you know, and that is a tremendous thing to be able to do. It's about being promoted. You can play some great football at times. A lot of teams want to be promoted out of this division, although, in my opinion, it's the best division you could be in.
You're only saying that because Alan's it.
No, I just truly believe, though. Dave Waters told me to say it.
Right, your thoughts on it? On the title pitch at the moment?
Yeah, I just feel that along with Swampy, that it's there for Charlie to lose. I think the playoffs could be anything between maybe six teams, not necessarily the team, you know, the four teams that are below them. And I honestly and truthfully believe that, you know, any one of those teams on the day can beat one another.
Yes.
And that's what makes it a little bit of a Russian roulette draw.
What's your take on it, Aaron?
Again, I can't see anyone catching Chorley. I mean, I think the outstanding stat on there for me is how many goals they've conceded. It's only 23 in 30 games, which is phenomenal. It's an incredible record.
And just going into that last, we called it a title decider, but that game, and actually just blowing them away completely. I mean, it was a battering, yeah, wasn't it? You know, truth be known. What about below that? Because AFC Fylde have now taken back third spot in the last few weeks. They've gone on a hell of a run.
Yeah, fully expected as well. And I actually think the top four, they're going to be there right at the end of the season. I really do think that. And then it's, what is it, six teams then? FC United up to Ashton United. It's any one of them for the last playoff space, I think. I just don't know who's going to get it.
One thing that's going to spur the team's blown as well is Skelmersdale's playoff record from the versus in North. Obviously,
what is this record you speak?
Obviously Skelmersdale, like 3-4 seasons in a row, failing to make win for the playoffs. So again, that might lead.
What other club would be like that, eh? Remember who's around this table, yeah? We've all got fun. You mentioned Works Up Town. You were throwing Works Up Town into the mix of the last show. They've kind of dropped off a bit, haven't they?
I say it could be a little blip in the calendar whilst coming up to the end of the season. As I mentioned at the start of the year, most teams are going to come through these blips, but it's how they're going to come out, turn it around, and end the season on it. Obviously, games aren't won after two or three games. It's at the end of the season, come March, April, the teams that are on form are the ones that are going to be the ones to beat. At the end of the day, it's going to be them that be fighting for titles, fighting for playoffs, and fighting against relegation.
Now, that match against Skelmersdale United was the league's highest attendance this year, wasn't it? 19,000, nearly 2,000 there.
19,000? Wow.
Sorry, did I say 19,000?
I think you did, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's a great crowd.
And you know what? Alan went, yeah, I'll take that figure. 1,900 were there. Obviously, there's another game happening this week as well, the weekend, which is bound to be 2,000. Is that good for the league, these kind of attendances?
Yeah, it's good for obviously it's good for the league. It's nice to see that people are willing to go out and see a live football match, and the fact that it's an Even State League match, then I think we all should take pride in that. But it's certainly match of the day on Saturday, isn't it? I think all eyes will be on Chorley.
It certainly is, and but what is interesting to note, actually, Chorley last night, they played in that 2-0 victory against Frickley. The crowd was down to 580 something, which was quite a surprise, because they've been averaging about 8,500. You can expect, certainly, I mean, I know the weather plays its part, certainly midweek. It has been very, very poor, the weather over the last couple of weeks. But certainly from a Chorley perspective against FC United, I can expect probably 2,500. The travesty will be, unfortunately, if the weather beats us and it's put to a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. You know, there's a lot of talk about extending leagues across the whole of the country at this moment in time.
Go fishing.
Southern Division at the moment underwater. You know, most pitches, they're not going to be they're not going to be ready. After 21 days, your grass disappears. You know, that's just the way it is.
We touched on it briefly there, Roy, about the playoff positions. Mm-hmm. Fylde, Skelm in there, definitely?
Yeah, Fylde and Skelm, yeah, definitely. And like I say, I think that the rest, you know, the other couple of spots can be made up from the next six teams below them, you know, ish. All depends on whether or not they actually, someone can put a run in, because we've had like little runs off Worksop, we've had a run off Fylde now. Rushall had a nice little run going there and have blipped up a little bit, so they'll come again, you know, as far as I'm concerned, because they're quite a solid outfit.
And Ashton there in fifth at the minute, but they had that great run. They were the best team in Europe, let's
of
forget.
Course, yeah. Bayern Munich overtook them, didn't they?
They did, yeah, and they're nowhere to be seen now. I mean, they lost again the other day, and it's looking a little bit wobbly from it at the minute, but works up.
What do you think, Aaron?
Well, I was just going to say, the thing with Ashton is that the run that they've now got to go on could be the complete opposite. I mean, if you look at their next few fixtures, they've got Fylde, Worksop, Kings Lynn. The next four or five fixtures are really, really tough for them, and ideally the Stamford game that they lost at the weekend was their winnable one.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I kind of see them trickling out.
It goes back to what we've always said, though, about this league, is that anyone down the bottom half, as FC proved with Trafford, they can beat you, or they can at least draw with you and trip you up.
They certainly can. I mean, the one thing about Ashton, let's not forget Ashton, ordinary, if they'd been finishing the last three or four seasons 10th or 12th,
and they're always about here, aren't they?
Well, no, I mean, normally this time of the season they're about that 10th or 12th position, yeah. And they stay there. You know, it's a new manager, a new set of players, and they've done a tremendous job. It's difficult to go and play against them. They've got some very good individual players. If they can get a run again, you know, they've got some big games, and they, with you saying, with those games that they've got, that could actually determine a lot of other teams' positions. I think one of the things that's true, certainly from a league perspective, is, with the exception really of Chorley and Skelm this season, that it's from third down to around about, in all reality, about 11th. It's everyone's very similar. There's no standout team there, really. Everyone can beat everybody. And
you're saying that, though, but as the months go by, that list is actually dropping off. I think it was 30. It was 14 teams at one point, yeah. And now it's drawing in a bit.
Well, I think it's interesting that Swampy put Rushall in on that list there. They are in 11th at the minute, but they've been on a dreadful run as well, haven't they? And I can't see him clawing enough back to getting at the playoff contention, really.
It's the exciting thing about this league, the fact that, though, you can still look all the way down to Rushall. I mean, if you do compare the points, they're not that far adrift. They're 7 points off Ashton United in fifth, and they're in 11th, and it's...
I won't discount them, because they played a certain style of football. When they need to play football, they can do so. But they've also got a pitch that's conducive to the way they play.
Well, obviously, all the teams that have been mentioned so far. But I'm going to throw another one in the ring. Last Saturday afternoon, I was at Blyth Spartans against Witton Albion, and I was really impressed with Blyth Spartans. They got well balanced team, and I'll tell you, I think they're a good. And I know you like dark horses in this podcast.
I love them.
Blyth Spartans, the dark horse for the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've watched them a couple of times, and they've got some quality there. And funnily enough, they've got big lads with good skills, which don't necessarily always go together. Yeah. And they've got Hook on the left, very skilful player.
Well, Roy, Neil Hook played in centre midfield, and one of the best midfield performances I've seen all season.
Quality player.
Everything went through him, lane passes out, left, right. Absolutely, he won man of the match, and quite rightly so.
Right.
Very impressed with Blyth Spartans.
And centre forward, again, very good skills, you know, on his left side, like I say, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
We do promise, dear listener, that at some point we will nail down who's going to be in the playoff positions, probably about April time, I'd imagine.
I think about June, you know, when we do the preview of the season.
There's a couple of standout games happening in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we mentioned Chorley against FC United, but on the same day, this Saturday, Ashton United are playing AFC Fylde, which is... well, quite significant, wouldn't we say?
Well, they were the team that Fylde were the team that put Ashton's run to an end, weren't they? They'd won 10 on the spin, was it something?
That's right, yeah.
On Saturday, the 22nd of February, Worksop Town are hosting Ashton United. So, like Aaron was saying, it's going to be a make or break for Ashton, and they could also have an effect.
Well, that's what, yeah,
all the other players
they
around,
have that effect,
all the other teams around them.
Yeah.
Chorley are playing Rushall Olympic on Tuesday, the 25th, which if Rushall play the cards right, could be away at Victory Park. So, you know. Anyway, and title favourites Buxton are hosting Stamford on Wednesday, the 26th of February. Right, so that's the end of part one. And when we come back, we'll have news on the Doomson, as well as on the relegation battle in the Premier Division, and some player awards, perhaps. Spilling the beans, as James Hayes.
It has been announced that the Northern Premier League's best behaved management team so far this season are off to Wembley next month to see England warm up against Denmark for the World Cup. As a reward for their excellent behaviour in the technical area since the campaign kicked off, the management teams at Skelmersdale United, Lancaster City and Romulus are set to enjoy an all-expenses-paid trip and a full hospitality package at the National Stadium on Wednesday the 5th of March as England prepare for Brazil in June. Division 1 South side Leake Town are planning to push ahead with plans to replace their notorious pitch with a new playing surface by applying for a grant fund. Officials at the title chasers announced on Monday that they are confident that sufficient funding will be in place by the summer to replace the pitch down at Harrison Park. Meanwhile, in Division 1 North, Clitheroe are hoping to field a new youth team in next season's Lancashire Sunday League. Following more than 6 months of detailed discussions with representatives from Clitheroe Wolves, the First Division North club are forming a new side to bridge the gap between the oldest age group run by Clitheroe Wolves at under-16s and the men's side. Clitheroe's application will be considered by the Lancashire Sunday League at its AGM in June. Elsewhere in the Premier Division, Marine have teamed up with developers to fund a new major redevelopment at the Arriva Stadium. The club have announced that they are hoping to remodel the front of their stadium and improve facilities for both fans and community users alike. Together with the Chester-based developer City Heart Limited, they've submitted a combined planning application to Sefton Council for a new 4,000 square feet convenience store and the redevelopment of the ground immediately behind the College Road end. In exciting developments, Stockport County's Edgeley Park has been chosen to host the Northern Premier League's Doomson Sport Cup final in April. This year's competition will climax at Edgeley Park on Sunday the 13th of April with a 3 p.m. kickoff. With the 2013-14 competition now reaching the latter stages, officials hope that by opting for a prestigious venue and making an early announcement, fans of the club still involved can start planning for a great day out and get behind their teams. And finally, speculation is mounting that Salford City Football Club are in talks with some new investors. Strong rumours circulating in local press last month suggested that a consortium led by Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs are looking to invest in the Division 1 North side.
Hi everyone, welcome back to part 2 of the MPL show here, live from the Magnet.
Pub of the month.
Pub of the month, soon to be relocated to Kansas. Welcome to welcome to Swampy from FC UM Radio.
Hello, man.
Very professional, as, aren't they? As if you do that in front of Caroline Barker.
Stop it.
Hello,
you're not Caroline Barker.
Hello, Roy Sill from New Mills.
Hello, Benjamin.
Thank you. Hello to Aaron Flanagan for the Indy News. When did this Partridge thing start? By the way, I've just noticed what I'm doing. Hello to Ian Burke from BBC Radio.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. Hello. I'm not carrying this. James Hayes is here from the MPL Facebook group.
I'll do.
And from the league, please be upstanding for Alan Alcock.
Good evening. That was more Partridge than anything. I'm from the league.
Have you got a fat back?
So, we've just had some news in briefs there, and one of the news items that we covered was, well, a certain cup final.
Yes, get in, come on!
And the league in the form of this gentleman to my right here, Alan Alcock, did say we've got a few surprises for you to make the Doomson, you know, a bit special this year. And you haven't you? We're doing Edgeley Park on a Sunday. So what's the general thinking? What you're hoping? Cheerleaders, some kind of firework display at the end?
Somebody suggested we have the Lancashire Hot Pots or something. I mean, I don't know what that's all about. But, you know, I just think it's, you know, we've got an opportunity to play at Edgeley Park, and in fairness to the competition, and I think in fairness to the players, you know, if we can have a decent final and hopefully with a decent crowd to cheer them on, then I think it's well worth doing. And, you know, and we're hoping for a decent event.
I think we've been proved right, though, in the last few weeks that the Doomson is going to be quite exciting this year.
I think it certainly is. There's some very, very good teams in there, and from an FC perspective, first and foremost, we've got to get over Carlton, our first trip down there to Nottinghamshire.
Should we go through these quarterfinals that are left? AFC Fylde played Chasetown last week and dispatched them quite comfortably, winning 4-1. The three remaining quarterfinals: Frickle Athletic are playing Loughborough Dynamo, Skelmersdale United are hosting Farsley FC, and Carlton Town are hosting FC United Manchester. All these remaining fixtures will take place towards the end of February, so we should know who the semi-finals are, what the semi-final matches are going to be like by next month's show.
We'll have to, because I think the finals are the 12th of March, so
it's around the midweek of the 22nd of March, I think it is.
I thought it was April.
No, the final's on the 13th of April.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Did I say 12th of March?
Yes.
I did, that's right. I did, yes. Edit that bit out, please.
Roy, you missed our annual, regular discussion about how good the Dudeson is this year. I think we won the argument, though, last month against Conference Boy over here.
Not for long.
Conference North Boy, don't we?
Where do you stand on the Dudeson with the remaining games that are left? Who do you fancy?
With the opponents?
Yes, who do you fancy?
I think you're looking at some, maybe Skem getting through, Fylde, Carlton.
You just won't say it, will you?
Frickley Athletic, yeah, I think that looks like a nice semi-final.
Where do you stand on this now, Berkey, now that there's some kind of, you know, special occasion at the end of the rainbow?
I am retiring from this conversation because I couldn't give two hoops about the Dudeson Cup. I just think it should be abolished. I've gone over this in previous months. I don't care about it. Put it out of its misery. I don't like it at all. Sorry,
Alan. You know what? John was back here for
Alan, you know what? I didn't even invite him. He just comes along. and last word to you on the Dudeson, Alan. Because last month you reacted with it was more a noise more than anything. It was kind of like,
so let's see if you can repeat that noise.
No, I'm just a little devastated that they couldn't have got a nice venue. When Curzon got there,
I do think it's a good thing that it's going to Edgeley Park. It is a good venue for it. However, is there going to be the demand there? Is it going to be, you know, a couple of hundred people rattling round a big empty venue?
If it's someone like, I don't know, Skem against FC United or AFC Fylde against FC United, then it'd be a big crowd, wouldn't it?
Potentially, but we said on the show last month, didn't we, that I can't remember it was the UFC played, but it was only about 300 people
there.
We played the Ossett Town on a Tuesday night. The weather was horrendous. There was 286 people. Let's not forget, that actually is bigger than the average crowd.
287, because Roger joined them.
Of course, yes, he did. Yes, on the sidelines. That's bigger than a lot of football clubs get on a Saturday afternoon. Let's not deride the competition because only 280 odd people went to see a game. More people. I mean, more people went to see that than a lot of people watch the Northern Division, the Southern Division, and in some cases, you know,
if
the Premier League.
If FC gets to that final, I reckon 4,000. You're looking at. Yes.
Can I just say, the final last year had even less than 280. I think it was 220 something at the final.
Well, it's two teams no one really cares about.
Oh! Well, that could happen again.
But at the same time, you had Noel Ferriby in there last year, who were doing a great job at the top of the league. They were getting decent attendances, and not many Noel Ferriby fans travelled. And if anything, Curzon, who don't have great support, we probably outnumbered them there at that final.
Before you respond, I'd just like to distance us lot from his comments. Anyway.
I said that with tongue in cheek because, as you know, North Ferriby are one of my favourite teams.
Of course.
And equally Curzon as well, you know, they're a good footballing team. I think the competition itself is going to, certainly from a semi-final perspective and a final perspective, you'll see good crowds, big crowds at those games. And I guarantee you that.
Are the semi-finals going to be weekend games as well, or is it still going to be midweek, do we think?
I think they're likely to be midweek. Mm.
The final's the important one, isn't it?
The final's the important one.
Let's move things alongside that. Nominations. Now, do you want to walk people through what this is? And don't go through all the technicality stuff.
I won't.
Linking us to FIFA. It was... it was too much.
He told us off air, actually. It was the FIFA equivalent, wasn't it? So there's a pot somewhere with numbers going in that actually nobody understands what it's there for.
But a couple of them microwaved so we get like a guaranteed win.
So to explain this in a crystal clear fashion,
Michel Platini
is Michel.
Yeah. Put simple, obviously last month we put out about the nominations, and anyone who follows our Facebook and Twitter would have seen me for the last 2 days badgering you to nominate. What's going to happen now is every player that was nominated has been gone to a panel of fans who is going to vote on it. Some of the people in the room as well have been asked as well to get involved. And from that we're going to get 5 players who make the final vote. Obviously I won't go into set their clarities, I've explained that to everyone around the room. But come, I think, March 6th, we're going to announce the final 5 for you. Obviously, we're talking with Ben before about, before the show, we're talking about the major players. We had the most nominations since ever, 103 players nominated from around 50-60 clubs, and about 200 nominations altogether. Other than that, it's just now down to the panel, which is made up of the fans of the league. So it's not just FC United fans or just a group of people that...
Not some faceless quango.
I've gone round and asked all the fans from every club in the league to see if they can get involved in regards to help us decide the final 5. And again, some of them in the room tonight, some of them, obviously, you might not know from the Facebook, they might just be Twitter users or... But it's...
So, without divulging too much and influencing the vote, I take it the names we're talking about are pretty...
I wouldn't say well-known. There's one or two names, obviously, that's Liam Metton, Stephen Thompson, Sam Ashton, quite a lot of few Charlie players everyone will know as well. But then you've got a more diverse as well, because you've got players from Gresley, Prescott Cables, Ratcliffe Borough, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, who else?
Scarborough,
FC United.
I nominated an Ossett Town player.
Well. Ossett Town player. We've then had one from Drolsden that put the name forward.
Is he still at Drolsden?
I think he is. So it's like
multifunctional game pace. He's now placed on the floor.
So obviously,
hold on. He played for who?
He used to play for Olympiacos.
They paid for Olympiacos.
I thought you said Argos.
That was right. Yeah.
Anyway, So
it's the only reason why we don't go off like the most nominations wins. So obviously, if that was the case, it'd be an FC United player, a Darlington player, Charlie, the clubs with more fans because of the larger base. That's why it's gone to a panel phase. So now, at the end of it all, we've done it for the last couple of years.
Let's just go around the table then, without influencing anyone. Who's your player of the season at the moment?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Thanks. I'm full of them, you know, sometimes.
It's a very difficult one because, you know, I think the best player I've seen this season, performance-wise, was Gavin Allen against FC United. Even though they got beat on the night, I thought he was absolutely tremendous. What a top quality footballer is. It's not a surprise Frickley is struggling. He's out injured at this moment in time. But a man who's been so prolific this season, right at the bottom of the division, for me, he's that performance that night would get my vote. But over the whole season, not quite sure.
Premier Division.
It's out of all three divisions, this one.
Out of all three divisions, I'd say Stephen Thompson from Darlington. Outstanding.
Good.
Out of the three I nominated, one was a Curzon player, so I'll just kind of brush him aside. I have to stick a Curzon on in there. The other two, one was Phil Dean at Ramsbottom, little winger, and the other one was Jimmy Ailes, the forward at Ossett Town, who at the end of the day has caused Curzon a hell of a lot of problems, beaten us twice this season. So for me, it's going to Jimmy Ailes.
The best individual performance I've seen all season was Naya Bayunu at Trafford when he played against Altrincham in the FA Cup. He absolutely destroyed him, cracking centre-half. He'll go far. He's the captain. I think he's only like 21, 22. He's a very, very good player.
Excess United of Manchester youth team player.
So I hear, yeah.
And top quality.
Cracking player, but for consistency. I'm with Aaron Hay, Phil Dean at Ramsbottom. Sprightly, lively, cracking left winger. He's got over 200 appearances for the club. And you don't get that in non-league these days, really, do you? It's just, he's a cracking player, his loyalty to the club's great.
James?
Obviously, it's not fair for me to comment on who I nominated, but I will condemn the three players that nominated themselves. during the entire phase.
What, you three?
Three players
nominated themselves.
Yes, one from Chase Town, one from AFC Fylde, and one from Prescott Cable.
That's a shame on you three! If you're listening now, shame on you.
You've got to name and shame them now.
I won't, I'm afraid. One at Prescott Cables has apologised and said it was meant as a joke. The other two have still not come out with it anyway. So,
well, if they don't come out with it next month, there's the opportunity. Next month, we will name and shame you. If you don't come out on some form of social media, then we will name and shame you. Yeah, guaranteed.
And Alan, Alan, from a unbiased league point of view,
that's why I'm not going to give any name at all. I don't think it's for me to give a name.
What you should have said was football.
Yeah.
Football's the winner.
What about you, Ben?
Me?
Probably some Buxton player, I'd imagine. Anyway.
Tim Ryan's there.
Do you want to name one?
Just anyone who's a hotelier. That'd be great. Right, so, so, I think that's part two done and dusted. Now, at this point, I don't know what's going to happen next. I could be interviewing Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian about all things Witton Albion.
It's good lot, Simo.
Yes, hopefully, but we don't know at time of recording if that's going to happen.
Traffic got the better of him, didn't he, unfortunately? It did, M60 being closed, he was going to be with us tonight, wasn't he?
He was. Or I could be having an interview right this second with a guy called Rob Lloyd, who's a Hales Owen fan. I went with Hales Owen because I thought, James has been plugging them for a while. So I spoke to Rob Lloyd a couple of days ago just to talk about all things Hales Owen, and we'll be discussing the promotion picture in Division 1 South when we get back.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. How you doing, mate? You all right?
Nice to finally speak to you.
I've brought you on anyway to talk about Witton Albion.
Great.
Because obviously last season Witton finished fourth, playoff semi-finalist, one of the favourites for promotion. Last season,
yep.
And this season, total reversal, fourth from bottom. What's gone on?
How long have you got? Actually, I think you can trace it right back to the playoff semi-final against FC United. People may point to what happened after that with Sean Tucker's being kind of a point of where things changed for Witton, but I disagree, but I think you can go back to the playoff semi-final and the way in which Witton lost that game, and no shame in them losing it, but the way in which they lost, the way in which they were kind of blown away, if you remember, in that first 25-30 minutes,
yeah.
I think no one quite knew at the time just how much of an impact that was going to have. And I think that at the start of this season, on the pitch, there was very much a kind of hangover from that, something that the management team didn't expect. I think they thought that Witton had overachieved compared to their expectation last year. But the impact of that going into this season was is that they didn't have that kind of surprise package element that they had last year and that they used so successfully last year. And I think that teams were a little bit more familiar with how Witton play now. And I think that on a footballing level, they've taken an awful long time to kind of recover from what happened in that semi-final. There's something I've spoken to the manager about a few times, and again, kind of hindsight's a wonderful thing, but he agrees, he feels that perhaps the kind of psychological impact of doing so well all season, finishing fourth, only for it to then be kind of smashed to pieces in about 20-25 minutes, did a lot of damage to a young team who is still very much in development, and it was one part of their development that I think they've learned from, but it took a long time to recover from. And then obviously what happened off the field with Sean Tuck in the pre-season, and then subsequently that kind of dragging on into the start of this season, I think it would be remiss not to say that that's had an impact on the team as well. They've kind of been caught in this strange, perfect storm of things on and off the field have conspired to make things really, really difficult for them this season. And I think that they're probably still recovering from it now, although results haven't been great recently. You've only really started to see since the turn of the year a kind of glimpses of the Witton that people will remember from last season, and whilst the results aren't quite there yet, the performances certainly are. And I think that, well, hopefully in the next few weeks you'll start to see the kind of results come as well. But it's incredible that it's taken this long for them to kind of emerge again from the team everyone remembers at the end of last season.
I mean, if you look at everyone around them, we've said on the show that they clearly have a very good defence. I mean, if you look at, yeah, obviously Drolsden conceded 126, Stafford and Stocksbridge 80 odd, yeah. Witton just 47, which is less than anyone else, up to about 12th. But yeah. they're not scoring that many goals, though, are they?
And that comes back a little bit to what I was saying about Tuck left. And when you lose somebody like that, you are, as well as all the other things that we know about, you are also losing a great player and somebody who was their top scorer last year. There was a very strange 48 hours at Witten when Tuck left, and they'd already set in motion a chain of events that would lead to Steve Foster leaving. That was their strike force last year and scored nearly 50 goals between them. So within 48 hours, they'd lost two strikers.
Right.
They did find a answer eventually. They got through a dozen forwards by October. They then signed Dave Walker on loan from Rushall Olympic. It was a huge success. He scored five goals in his loan spell. Witten thought they had the answer. They were moving towards a transfer. And then Dave broke down injured in his last game. So they were back to where they were at the beginning, ran through another five, six forwards. And again, only really in the past 3 to 4 weeks with the addition of Scott Backer from Clitheroe, and then, as everyone will be aware, last week Alex Titchener returning to the club, they've probably only now got the strike force that Pritch will be happy with. So hopefully we'll see them scoring a few more goals. And the signs are quite good. They've scored four at Staley Bridge in the Senior Cup, four at Chorley in the League Cup, and four against Stocksbridge in the League in January. So they're starting to pick up. But you mentioned the defence, and you're spot on. It's been pretty sound for them. But
apart from the last couple of games.
Whether that's a blip, we'll have to wait and see. But they conceded three at Fylde and four at Blyth in the past couple of away games, and two against Worktop in the last league game over here in Northwich. So we'll see if that is a new pattern. I don't think it is, but that's something that they've kind of not had to worry about the defence. It's always kind of the concerns always been, can they get enough goals? And I think they feel privately now, once Titchener gets up to speed, that bit's okay again, and then you don't want the defence to start falling apart. So we'll see in the next couple of weeks.
Well, thank you, Andrew, and we will get you on again.
I will make it. I will be there one day.
So welcome to the MPL show, Rob. Thanks for joining us on the show. How's the season gone so far at Hills Owen?
Yeah, brilliant. There's been it's been a really good season so far. The players are doing absolutely superb. I guess really, to a degree, many people would say that they're overperforming a little bit. But that's down to the management of the squad and the coaches and the work that goes on in the background and the hard work that's been put in place.
You won team of the month in December. It's been a bit shaky in January, but you're now top of the league. It was looking for a long time though that like Leek Town were going to run away with it, but it's all bunched up now, hasn't it? Really at the top.
Yeah, I think we've been a little bit fortunate over recent weeks when games have been called off. As you say, we were a little bit ahead of some of the teams, and we kind of got looking over our shoulder a little bit at the teams below us, thinking if they win those games in hand, but they're kind of tripping themselves up at times, and I'm sure there's plenty more twists and turns during the course of the season, but it's really quite exciting between probably ourselves and Colville and Leek at the moment. Those are probably the main three who are pushing for the automatic place, and I'm sure teams like Belfer will come running close as well as the season progresses.
I mean, attendance-wise, it was looking like at the start of the season, Scarborough Athletic perhaps were the favourites for the league because obviously they're a big name in non-league. But you've got the second highest attendance in the league, so you're probably where you should be, really, would you say?
Yeah. The interest is picking up really within the club, and a lot of local people are coming out to support the team again. Obviously, Halzone have gone through their difficult times in recent years, and obviously the success on the pitch is helping to bring people back. But there's a real kind of good feel-good factor about the club at the moment, and many people who maybe have been going down and supporting Halzone on a semi-regular basis are kind of maybe putting in a few more appearances down at the Grove. And I think it's really down to the people who are involved in running the team, John Hill and Trevor Burrows, that they can see that the players on the pitch are giving absolutely everything for the club. And I think obviously when you can see players who are doing that on the pitch and giving absolutely everything, I think win, lose or draw, you know, the people are going to come and support that and applaud that. And it's really evident in the way that they're performing, and you know, it's very clear to see really.
Promotion's on, and that's the target. Was that the target at the start of the season? to go up?
I don't think so. I mean, I think within the feeling within the club, really, I guess, was that if last year we just missed out on the playoffs by goal difference, and I think there's a number of players who are obviously making a step up into this league, if you like, as well as players kind of like Neil McKenzie and Isden Christie, who've had experience at a higher level, who are making a step down. So I guess really this season that the supporters of Halzone was hoping that we could maybe push for the playoff positions, and you know, with a bit of luck and a bit of, you know, not really picking up injuries or suspensions, I guess the hope was that we could maybe get in the playoffs. But you know, we've kind of exceeded that expectation a little bit through the hard work, and you know, we're hopeful that you know, we can keep it going and just keep working, and who knows, maybe this could be the season for Halzone.
Well, let's hope so. You're in the West Midlands, obviously there's you're jam-packed with clubs in the West Midlands, but not just the big names, but the clubs like Rushall Olympic and Hensford are in the area. Where does Hales Owen fit in?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, we're getting more and more people, as you mentioned there, about our crowds are going up. I think we're 30% up our crowds this season. We're taking a good following away to many grounds, and obviously as a club it would be good for us if more local organisations and local businesses could get behind the club and offer some financial backing as well to the club, because obviously as you mentioned there, some of the clubs like Rushall and Hensford are within close proximity, and obviously there's that lot from down the road, Stourbridge as well. We'd obviously like to be competing in a higher division. And
that lot? Wow.
Yeah. if local businesses could come and support the club and help to push things back, you know, who knows, maybe the glory years of years gone by would be back at Wembley. Maybe that could happen again, hopefully.
Well, good luck in the next few months in the promotion hunt, and thanks for joining us on the MPL show, Rob.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Welcome back to The Magnet here in Stockport for part number 3 of the MPL show.
Part number 3?
Yes, it's a number, I can say
it. Doesn't
like
sound
that.
Quite right, that, you know?
No, I know.
Part number 3, you need to edit that out.
Round the table, we've got James Hayes from the MPL table. Facebook group.
Evening.
We've got Ian Burkett from BBC Radio Manchester.
Evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Hello.
We've got Roy Sewell from New Mills.
Yeah, good evening.
From the Non-League Football Show and from FCO Radio, we have this man here, Swampe.
Good evening.
And from the league, our very special guest this week, Alan Alcock.
Evening.
We're now, last month we said perhaps Stocksbridge might perhaps be out of it. We needed Roy Sewell, though, to confirm it, because he's been championing Stocksbridge all season. But Witt and Albion are still there. What's going on?
Well, they're not scoring enough goals and they're conceding too many.
But
they have re-signed Alex Titchener. He was phenomenal a couple of seasons ago in the promotion year. 44 goals that season. He scored one in the playoff final as well. Sorry, Aaron. But he was great that season. He's re-signed from Fleetwood. He never really got a proper chance there for whatever reason. Don't know why. But he didn't. He went on loan to Halifax. I think he might have gone to Chester as well for a bit.
Yeah.
Scored in non-league when he went back down there. But in the league, he never got a real chance. And he was released from his contract a couple of weeks ago. Witten very quickly said, yeah, come down, join us. It'd be brilliant. It'd be just like old times. And he's not scored yet. But he will do.
Are Witten going to drag anyone into this at all above them? Because they all look fairly, even though it's only 3 points, they look comfortable, don't they? All bow well up.
I think what you're going to need is you're going to need some courage, a heart, and a brain to get out of there.
Right, so.
Well, you were the Wizard of Oz. I thought I'd just bring the Wizard of Oz flying back into it. I think in reality, I mean, we've said it on many occasions, the plight of Witten, the story was, for me, was written towards sort of like the beginning, well, halfway through the season with what happened, and then not recovered from it. The likes of Frickley have played 34 games. They're the only real team I can honestly see with playing so many games above everybody else. That's the hope that Witten have. 29 games played, you know, 31 points, only 4 points away from Frickley, so they've got 5 games on them, and then that could be their saving grace, really. But they need to start winning.
Yeah, I can't see Witten going down. I think they've got 31 points now. If they get another 5 wins, you know, and they've got like 14 home games, have they not? You know, that puts them, for me, in a little bit of safety. Looking at, I see Barwell, big strong lads, you know, they don't give a lot away. But I also have to look at Frickley Athletic more so because of the amount of games they've played, like, you know. But it goes up as high as Stamford for me. You know, if anybody, it's a little bit of a dodgy spec, you know, they can find themselves right in there.
It's interesting though, because last month Grantham looked like they were going to get dragged in, and a couple of results, they're back out of it again, and it's
games against, that's the problem though. You've played 34 games, you've lost your top goal scoring Gavin Allott, who I say has been tremendous this season. The only one thing Frickley have in their armoury, I suppose, really, is the fact that they've been in this position on a number of occasions, so therefore they may well get out of it for that reason alone. But they've also got a Doosan trophy game to contend with as well, and it would be quite surprising. It may well be mirroring, they could well get to the final of a competition, get relegated, and we've seen that. There's a team in the final of the Premiership of a cup competition that may well get relegated, and last season Wigan did exactly the same thing. They got into a cup final, won a cup final, got relegated.
Alan, what's your views on it, taking you out of your league position?
Well, one of the things that anybody in football will always see, a team at the bottom or in the relegation zone, things happen in the last few minutes where fate goes against them. And I have to say, that's happening with Witten. You'll notice that there's goals going in the last couple of minutes, which means they don't get the maximum points. Same applies for teams at the top. We all know that teams at the top, they'll score a last minute goal to give them the 3 points. And I think Witten need to be concerned, because they are conceding in the last few minutes. And if they don't stop that, then they're suddenly going to find that the teams above them are too far in front. So they've got some work to do. Like everybody else, they should have the skills to be able to get out of that relegation zone.
Do you reckon that's
there at the bottom?
Do you reckon that's a fitness thing, though, or a concentration thing?
No idea what it is. I mean, you know,
I don't think it'd be a fitness thing, because I mean, Brian Pitcher is pretty conscientious in how he's, you know, he actually runs and organises his team, so that won't be a question. But obviously, going back to what Alan said, you know, teams maybe feel they shouldn't be in those sort of positions, and psychologically they switch off for moments in games, you know, where it does cost them. And you know, it's psychology and attitudes are different thing totally from skills, abilities and fitness, you know, because you can't actually grasp hold of it.
That's, I think, the relegation battle done.
I want to say, so something, yes. There's a team that are down there, Stocksbridge Park Steels. I think they've gone, but one mention, there's a player that's been playing there for the last few seasons now, been done tremendously well, and he's leaving them on the 22nd of this month, and that is Nick Swirard. He's got a contract going out to the US of A, and he's going to be coaching over there for the next 9 to 10 months. So again, a very amiable young man who won won Player of the Year, Fans Player of the Year, won his time at New Mills, and equally at he was FC United before that. But been a fan's favourite at Stocksbridge Park still, so we wish him very, very all the best when he goes over there. Unfortunately, his team are doomed.
Yeah, can I give Drawsden a shout as well, because they could be relegated in a week and a bit's time against Marine if results go against them. We know they got anyway, but it could happen in February.
Will that be a record, a league record, perhaps, got in February? Or has there been teams? Did Durham down before that? A couple of years ago.
No, Durham with March.
Was it about March? Or they were, could be, could be a record.
Remember, FC helped them out.
And what a goal it was as well. Absolutely tremendous goal that won that game against FC.
So that's the relegation battle covered. But James Hayes is here from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the MPL, or on Twitter at the MPL group.
And we've been asking for some correspondence.
Yeah, main ones tonight is basically asking again how now we're getting to the business end of the season, what's your team's performances like. A couple of correspondents tonight, one from Richard Scott, Charlie fan, saying it is now Charlie season to go up. Dave Osborne is a Rushall Olympic fan, saying they need to start acting up to staying within the playoff race. And then Matt Keogh again, a Radcliffe Borough fan, celebrating a certain result from Saturday, but we'll get that on Saturday.
See, I wasn't going to bring it up at all. I had it that was structured.
I hope James doesn't bring it up as well.
For James's sake.
Just very quickly there, James, you talk about Rushall Olympic. They missed out by a whisper last season. They finished in sixth, FC beating them at their place. That killed their season, really. But again, they have the bit between the teeth this season, and they'll be really going for it, because and Dave is we've interviewed Dave, he's a cracking lad, and they're a decent outfit.
Let's move to Division 1 South now. We spoke to Rob earlier from Hales Owen. It looked like for a long time, League Town, they were running away with it, but it's all tightened up now. We've got Hales Owen, Colville, League Town and Belper Town all within touching distance of top spot. It's quite exciting, would we all agree?
Yes.
Right, moving on to Division 1 North.
Well, someone who actually watched the game.
Oh my God!
Whoa. Let's not do a bit of disservice, goodness me. We were to have Kids Grove going to be with us tonight,
the chairman, and should have had someone from Leek who's,
you know, so unfortunately, whether it's, again, I mean, we're not.
Are you not listening? I've interviewed a guy from Hales Owen Town.
I know you have. But we had people actually here in the pub that were coming down tonight, but weather has stopped them getting here, so there's not this massively north bias. We might have Manc accents, all of us, with the exception of Ben, who's from Didsbury.
And he's from Salford.
Yeah, but you don't tell people that often, do you? Let's be honest. You pretend you're from Didsbury.
In the meantime, we sent Aaron off on his horse to a Division 1 South match to scout it out. Tell us more. What happened? Did they play with a level side?
No, honestly, I've said it to you guys already. It was the best game I've seen this season.
What was the game?
But the game was Scarborough versus Belper on the Saturday just gone. It was an incredible game of football. Credit has to go to both teams. I mean, what I don't think we've mentioned when we've been talking about Division 1 South in the last few weeks is Belper and the incredible run that they're going on. I mean, they are really picking up points, and they've got to be really gutted that they didn't win that game at Scarborough. At the weekend, they're a fantastic football inside. They try and get the ball down, they try and play it. Got a couple of experienced lads up front. I think one was called Mark Ward and the other Jonathan Froggatt. I didn't buy a team sheet because you do have to buy them at Scarborough.
We did that once as a commentary team. Should have seen his face when they were giving out for free later.
The whole team, that's why.
I completely refused to go and buy a team sheet. So I was just trying to pick
up. Journalist, not getting a freebie. You'd have thought. Where do you think you'd be down at the press club later on demanding free ale?
I need to get in. That's a start.
Division 1 South. Alan, thoughts before we move on to Division 1 North?
Well, I think there's not much changing. It's the usual ones. I mean, we thought Leek was going to run away with it. Leek are not. Hales Owen are well placed. Colville, they're coming up on their own. It's an interesting division. I think there's a few teams there that can get, not only win it, but they're there for the playoffs.
Berkey, you've got one more point to make.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the league table. I'm surprised to see Chase Sound bang in the middle of the table there. I was expecting this would have been a little bit higher up, and we should say a word or two about Eastwood.
I was about to ask.
I feel for the fans of Eastwood at the moment. So obviously, since the last podcast, things have got a lot worse. Hopefully we can see him out till the end of the season, and then
not to say anything, but it comes on the back of me saying they've showed themselves up. Anyway, so
I'm glad you said that. So
they've got nine more points than the Drolls then.
But they're a division below them.
He's still got nine more points.
So up at the top, what do we reckon then? Because it has closed up. League Town, Colville, Hales Owen. Who do we think?
Belper.
I'm sticking with Hales Owen, man.
Hales Owen. Any more names?
Colville.
Swamper.
Hales Owen runners up.
I'm going to stick with League Town as I have done since the last 5 minutes. No off season.
And Alan.
Hales Owen and Colville have to play one another in a couple of weeks.
Wow. That's why I said leaked.
So let's move to Division 1 North. Well, Aaron, you're our Division 1 North expert. At the top, anyway.
Opposed to the manager that sat next to you.
What's happened to Curzon Ashton, or is it just a case of you not playing that many games at the moment?
We've not played many games. I mean, we did have our second loss of the season to Ossett Town at home. It was a poor performance anyway, but we've struggled. I mean, our pitch has been in really bad condition for our pitch. We've had a lot of work done on it, so hopefully we won't have them problems anymore. We got unlucky. We travelled to Burscough. The ref called it off 45 minutes before kickoff. It's just a case we've not played many games, which I think probably has halted our momentum a little bit. I think the momentum's probably with Warrington again now, unfortunately.
It's all settled down though, again with the playoff positions, hasn't it? Well, Farnsley, Kers and Darlington and Warrington, they're pretty much either going to get promoted automatically or
yeah the top four that are there now should be there in the season. It's the fight for fifth place, I reckon that's the main one.
I don't think there's any scrap for fifth at all. I think Ramsbottom have got it. The best team I've seen.
Even Bramley Bridge with its hordes of Macedonians.
Hordes? Thousands?
I completely disagree. Only because, obviously, Ramsbottom have had their 3 points deducted. They also went, on the back of that, they went and lost a game which they probably should have won.
They did beat Radcliffe 8-0, though.
Let's not talk about that.
That was a while ago. but I just kind of feel like there's a little bit of momentum lost there with Ramsbottom. Bamber Bridge are a brilliant footballing side. They're really dogged, really determined. They play some good football. It's quite effective. And for me, Bamber, out of the teams challenging, are the best of the teams I've seen.
Alan, going to you now. I have to mention about the Championship in Division 1 North. The title, where's it going? Just the small questions for you, Alan.
Warrington.
Jeez, decisive.
Wow, that's me.
Decisive.
Comments on that, but nothing else.
Right, now, final word on this Division 1 North goes to the only manager around the table, Roy Sill.
Last time I was on here, I actually said that it was Curzon's to lose. Still feel that.
Proved me right.
I still feel that to a point. It is only theirs to lose. I just feel Farsley are the team that will fall away. Haven't seen them. I don't believe that the physicalities and, shall we say, the directness of Warrington will be forthright when they come up against teams like Darlington, who can match that, but then supersede it and play good football. Darlington, without a shadow of a doubt, the best team I've seen this season. And they've got some quality players right the way through, and the manager prepares them in the right manner as well.
See what's happening here, gentlemen? That's my laptop of notes shot.
No mention of down the bottom.
Because we're going down bottom.
Bing? No. At that point, that's I pretty much think that's the end of the show.
No, it's not mention of Salford. No mention of
bottom end.
Right, I'll reopen the laptop. Right, okay, go on, over to you, lot.
What a win.
The nice thing is, you weren't even there, and I went to watch it.
James.
Outside.
Just before we go, any other business before we go? Can we speculate over Salford City without...
Well, I mean, I think the money injection that comes in will be an academy, will be a new bar, and a few other things. I don't think it's going to massively alter the playing staff initially.
Will they stay at Moor Lane?
Well, they should stay at Moor Lane.
Salford Reds. Yeah,
they have to stay at Moor Lane because they've got a 1930s Art Deco stand is the best in football.
Isn't it one of the oldest sports stadium things?
Grounds.
In the world. It's like goes back to the 1500s.
It must be a rugby field, isn't it?
Hunting before the rugby, then.
Being a journalist, I did my research for once, and
he went read it on Wikipedia.
I've asked a few questions in different places, and it's looking exciting.
It's looking exciting and looking likely promising scenario.
Yeah, the thing is for Salford is United's outpriced pretty much anyone in Salford. They can't no longer afford to go, and Salford Red Devils aren't even in the town anymore. So
I personally think it's disgusting, and that's me speaking as a rival.
Well,
10 minutes from the 98 bus. That's what it is.
Exactly.
What Aaron said there, spoke to someone involved in the club, should we say, on Friday, and this person said it felt like all the Christmases had come at once. So it is looking like
it's looking real.
I
hope it works for them. If it happens in the right way, in the right manner, because we know this has happened on many occasions, a lot of other football clubs. So let's hope it's worth us all for seeing, because they are a tremendous football club.
And on that note, that is the end of this month's MPL show. We'll be back in March with a March version of the show. Thank you to Swampy.
You prepared that, didn't you? Well done.
Thank you to Swampy from
FC
Radio. Thank you to Roy Sewell from New Mills.
Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Flanagan from Evening News.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ian Burke otherwise known as Berkey from Radio Manchester.
Cheers, Ben.
Thank you to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group.
And thank you once again to Alan Alcock from the league for joining us.
And where are we all going to? Yeah.
We're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz,
the Wizard of Oz, wherever the Wizard of Oz.